Let's try it again. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. Continue the Rambam Hilchas Eidus, Perek Chof Beis, Halacha Gimel, Chapter 22, Law 3. We have to keep on the track that we started yesterday. Remember, we discussed an issue where there were two pairs of witness in a particular case that there were Eide HaChachosha, they had conflicting testimony. This one said, yes, he owes him money. This one says, no, he does not owe him money. This, yes, we saw that was given over, that he gave him the money. We saw the money. And this one says, they did not change hands. It did not change. So what happens in that case? We throw both witnesses out. Nothing happens. We, as if there's no witnesses. However, there's one piece of logic that still remains. We know that between these two witnesses, one pair are liars. Now, that doesn't mean we can call anybody a liar per se, but we mean between these two pairs, if the two pairs are ever in a scenario where the two of them are used together, then we know that there is a pair of liars. If they're not used together, then we can't assume it. And that's how we've been going, and that's how Halacha, Gimel, and Dalet are going to continue.
Because we can't assume which one we have to...
With this theme. And you'll see how it makes differences in certain cases. Okay, Hotzi Ruvain Shtar Alevi. Ruvain brings out a shtar against Levi, and he wants to collect money based on that. Let's say the shtar says that Ruvain let Levi $100. And there's witnesses at the bottom that have signed it. Ve'edav, and who are those two witnesses happen to be? Kas Achas Mishtem. This is a pair from the witnesses from the previous case that had conflicting testimony. Okay, well, that alone is not something to say that they're not kosher witnesses. But that is, so Ruvain pulls out on Levi a document. He goes, now Levi, of course, says, I never borrowed the money. But Ruvain says, I have a document right here, and it's signed by witnesses. Now, Vahotzi Shimon, now Shimon comes along, a separate guy, and he brings out a Shtar Shady, also a document, against the same Levi. Levi is now, this guy's getting picked on now by Ruvain and Shimon. They both have documents that they lent Levi money. And Shimon, who do you think signed his document? Beit of Akatashnia. The other pair of conflicting witnesses that were in that previous trial. Okay, what does Levi have to say about all this? About both of these. But Levi kofer b'shem. Levi says, I never lent you guys anything. Okay, so Ruvain and Shimon both claim that Levi separately borrowed $100 from them. They have documents supporting their claim. Levi denies it. Well, normally a document, if there was no problem with the witnesses, Ruvain and Shimon would both be collecting their $100. The problem is that they have the two pairs of witnesses are the same two pair that were conflicting. So what do we know for sure? We know for sure that one pair of witnesses is a liar. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to pull money out of Levi's pocket. Right? And we know that one pair is for sure kosher, and one pair is for sure not kosher. We don't know which pair it is.
They equal amounts of debt? So, does it matter?
Not really. It's not going to matter. Okay. So looky here what happens. Ruvain Nishba, Ruvain makes an oath that indeed the loan took place, and these guys signed the document. Vinotel, and he can collect his $100 from Levi. Vishima Nishba Vinotel, and Shimon can make an oath as well that he lent him the money and he takes his money. Why? Because Shibavadai Echad Mehem Yeshlo Etzlo. Because certainly, he certainly owes one of them. There's no question he does owe somebody for sure. We just don't know who's the liar. Right? And therefore we can't make anybody lose. And therefore the borrower, he is the one who's unfortunate over here. Now the fact that they swear really wouldn't be necessary normally. This oath is only a rabbinic enactment to appease the lender, the borrower, that he says, listen, if you guys are gonna take already, I know that something's But from a halachic point of view, really both of them collect without an oath, but to appease the borrower, and perhaps at least the guy will figure, like, if they really thought that they're cheating me, they wouldn't say God's name in vain, so at least he feels a little bit better that they made an oath. But really, each one has a claim. The guy says, you owe me the money, and you can't prove, I have a document, and you can't prove that the signatures are liars.
One?
It doesn't matter. Each one goes on his own. Reuven says, I don't want to think about Shimon. All I know is I got these two guys.
Right.
These two guys, as far as I know, they are kosher witnesses. I don't know anything about them not being kosher witnesses. You have some doubts? Well, I'm going to go with the chazaka, man. And the chazaka is they're good. And the second guy could say the same thing. It's not like where the guy wants to use the same witnesses to do this, the double on both ends, like we had before. Each one's coming on his own. It says, what's wrong with the witnesses I have? You want to say they're not good? Prove that they're not good.
So right? there's no issue with Reuven and Shimon's oath, because one of them has false witnesses.
Listen, as far as each one assumes that everything is proper, and the truth is, what do they know? All they know is they asked these two guys to sign. And that's exactly what happened. Let's think about it.
They're liars, but they may not be lying in this case.
No, they're not lying. They're not lying.
Not about this, but
they're not lying. Reuven and Shimon are both swearing Reuven's like, I got these two guys, and I lent you the money. You may have forgotten, Levi. You may have forgotten, but this is the document, and these two guys signed it, and it really happened. Now, could be that these two guys lied in a previous case that Reuven doesn't know anything about.
Right.
But if Reuven is afraid to swear, that means maybe it never happened. But if Reuven is swearing, what are we believing? We're believing he lent in the money with his document, and maybe the witnesses were not kosher witnesses. That's the only thing that we say, but we don't halachically say that because we have no reason to prove it. So we make the guy swear, so at least that appeases the lender. Lender say, listen, these guys are getting away with murder. I know one of them has liars, and they're just going to get away. Well, okay, they got to swear. Now if they swear, then we assume that both of them did lend him the money. Could be the signatures on one might not be perfect, but the guy swears that he lent him the money. And he does have witnesses backing up, but we don't know that they're false witnesses. So there's enough there to cause the oath to appease the fellow.
Sorry,
yeah.
So if each case there, both Reuven and Shimon are separate really cases, we have to treat them as separate
That's
cases.
Right, exactly.
So then why are we putting the halacha here together?
Because the fact of the matter is, between the two of them, it is two people collecting from Levi. And Levi's saying, I don't get it. We know that one of the pair of witnesses are liars. And I got to end up paying both? Yep. So we just do to appease Levi to make them swear. According to the letter of the law, they don't have to swear. But it's just hard on Levi to have to pay out knowing. In other words, there's things that you know from halakhic point of view are so, but it's just doesn't sit right with the person who's the loser here. So listen, if I have to lose on both ends, and you know really I shouldn't be paying both, based on some of the fact, these guys at least swear. Now, if Levi is correct that it didn't happen, then one of the guys will back out from his oath. You see that? So at least he has comfort in knowing that they were even willing to swear. If they're willing to swear, well, maybe, Taka, there were two. It could very well be there were two loans, and one of the, if he really owed the money, even if the witnesses aren't kosher, he really owes the money.
Right.
Can't get out of that. And we have witnesses. Remember, two signed witnesses as if it's their witnesses right here and now.
But if you knew which pair was.
We don't know. If you knew.
If you knew, then the oath wouldn't help, would it?
Then you can't collect. Then it's like it's not a good document at all.
Yeah.
And the Rambam says it is all based on Kidin Chenvoni al Pinkaso. It's similar to the case of the storekeeper with his ledger. What's going on over there? So the commentators have to tell us what the case over there. We're speaking about a storekeeper, and he keeps his own private ledger, and you know, guys buy on credit. And he took down on Monday, the guy bought $10 worth, Tuesday bought $20. He adds up with the creditor. Until he get a nice amount, and says, okay, you know, you owe me $100, now pay me the whole $100. That's the chenvani we're talking about over there. So let's say, a customer goes to the innkeeper, the storekeeper, and says, you know, I have a worker. You're already giving me credit, right? So give me a little more credit. You know, it's like, you know, you want to get a cash check on payday, or you know, you want to get the cash before payday kind of thing. You know, we cash checks from certain neighborhoods, not in our neighborhood, but other neighborhoods, right? So if the guy says, listen, you're already extending me credit, right? So give me another credit. I'm going to send my worker and give my worker some money. Give him whatever, $10, wages that I owe him, but I don't got the money. You pay him for me, and then, you know, we'll add it to the tab.
Right.
And then when we get to the $100 mark, I'll pay you for the whole tab, and that's part of it. Okay, and then I'll pay you. Okay, so now what happens a week later? A week later, the worker turns to the owner and says, you know, I never got paid. He says, yeah. What are you talking about? I told the guy to give you money. So what's going on? So the storekeeper says, what do you mean? I gave it to him. The worker says, I never got. So now what's happened? Now let's think about this for a minute. So who's asking what from whom? The worker is asking $10 from his boss because
right.
I never got paid. The storekeeper is asking for $10 because I paid the guys you told me to. Didn't you tell me to? Yeah, I told you. And I did. I did that. So now what happens? The law is the worker makes an oath and the boss has to pay him $10. The storekeeper makes an oath and he gets $10 from the boss based on what he claims, right? And they swear, okay? So it comes out and so the worker swears. And the storekeeper swears, and they have to do it all in front of each other, so they'll be embarrassed of each other in case if they be lying. So it's a similar type of scenario where, what do we know? The guy knows something's, what had to have happened? Either the storekeeper did not give the guy the $10, right? And I only would have to give 10 to the worker. Or the storekeeper did give the $10 to the worker, and all I got to give is $10 to the storekeeper, right? But each one has a tremendously valid claim, and this is what happens when you don't do things with witnesses and everything. You should have written down, and when you give it to him, I want him to sign, I want him to do this. You didn't do any of that. So you left, and he agreed. We said, didn't you tell me that I should pay him? Yeah, I did. Well, I did. You didn't make me sign things or anything like that. So it's the same type of case. You know that one of them's got to be a liar, but each one has a chazaka that he's not a liar. Right? The worker never lied before in his life. The storekeeper never lied before in his life. Each one's making a claim that you can't deny, and each one wants $100 from the guy, or $10 from the guy.
But the storekeeper makes the claim and doesn't have it in the ledger.
He writes it in the ledger, but it's only his personal ledger. You know, it could have very well been he put the $10 right away and he forgot to give the guy. You know, it could be he forgot. He thought he gave him, you know, and he forgot. Obviously, clearly, between one of the two, somebody is lying. But there's not enough evidence for the boss to refute them. And if anything, he's the one who's told them to do this. So Ram is saying that's exactly the same case where you know there's a liar, but everybody's coming in with a chazaka. So what do? You gotta pay. Really, he's just gotta pay. But you know, the boss is gonna be furious. So he goes, okay, at least everyone's gonna swear in front of everybody else. So you know, it takes a lot of chutzpah for somebody to swear. So you're hoping that at the end of the day, someone's gonna back out and not swear. Yeah.
And you'll find out.
So that's the same case. All right, Dalit. This one's a little tricky. Second half is tricky here. Hotzi Ruvain shtar al Shimon ve'edav kazach zvem. Again, Ruvain pulls out a shtar against Shimon today, and he's got two pairs of witnesses that already have had issues from the past. Same issues. But now, the same Ruvain. Now, the last case was two different creditors go to one borrower. Now it's one creditor to two borrowers. Vehotzi star sheni al Levi, ve'edav hakashniyah v'chol echad mehem kofer bo. Now we have Ruvain wants to take money from Shimon, and he wants to take money from Levi on two different loans, with each of the two of the four witnesses of the conflicting witnesses. All right. Now this is much worse than the case before, where it's two separate guys, and each guy could say, "I got all I want is 100, and I got good witnesses." This guy, he is one guy. He wants to take away from two guys now, and these guys both deny it. But now the problem is, we know you have for sure one bad one. The case before, we can't look at any of the creditors and say we know you have a bad one. We know in all, overall, between the two, there's a bad one. But if it's one creditor to two others, we know you, Mr. Creditor, cannot get $200. Because you for sure have one with false witnesses. Right? That's what makes it worse than with two separate creditors. When it's two separate creditors, you look at each creditor, the guy says, "Why do you think I got the bad one? Maybe the other guy's got it." Here it's one creditor, we turn and say, "Listen, you've got a bad fellow over here. One of the two for sure can't work." So therefore, they deny, and a motzi mechaber right. Now that you want to prove and take money from your friend, you've got to bring a proof. Why? Hoyo ve'ein Ruven yochel l'kayim echod mishteshas, because Ruven can't really validate either one of the two documents, and since one is for sure puzzle, it casts doubts on everything. And therefore, I read, kol shtarmeyem kecheres, each document is like earthenware that you cannot collect. Each one turns to the other and say, "Listen, the one you have on me is puzzle, and the other guy has the kosher one." Right? That's different than the other case where it's two different guys collecting. I says, "What do you want from me?" "Huh, I got the good witnesses." But here where they know this guy's got one bad one, he can't get out of saying he doesn't have a bad one. He has to admit he's got one bad one. So why are you collecting from me? Collect from the other one. And therefore he's on the bottom end. But same way, but the two people who say they didn't borrow, nishboin ha-heses v'niftram, they have to make a rabbinic oath, again a decree of the rabbis, and then they get off the hook because they totally deny what's going on. And whenever you're kofar bakol, whenever you totally deny that you have to pay it, you have to make an oath. Now, here's an interesting point. When do we say this applies that he can't collect from anybody? It's kishabosh te hakitos lahoid ka'achas. I hope I explained this correctly here, where the two pairs of witnesses are coming to testify at the same time. What I think he means is he's trying to collect from both creditors, debtors, at the same time. He goes to one and the other at the same time, and he's saying, "What are you trying to pull off here?" But what if the following? I think this is what it means. Avol kol ha-motzi shtar sheyesh bo eides kas achas mishteyem. What if, let's say Reuven went to Shimon only, and he says, "Here's the document. You owe me the money, and here's two witnesses." And the guy says, "Well, didn't I hear long ago that there was a case involved with these guys and they were conflicted with another one?" He says, "Yeah, but no one proved that they were liars. They still have a chazaka." So if he's only going after one, if Reuven is going only after Shimon, what would be the law? He could collect. Why? Because we can't say with any certainty that Reuven, you're collecting is for sure collecting with false witnesses. We haven't talked about the second pair of witnesses yet. He's going to say, "These are two witnesses. So what? They were conflicted long ago. Maybe they were the honest ones. They have a chazaka. I have a shtar. They signed it. You pay." And that's, let's say he does that on Monday. Right? And v'im hotzi acher kach, and let's say if on Tuesday, Levi or somebody wants to collect from $100 from the other two witnesses who signed. Bain who, it doesn't matter if it's the same Reuven. Bain achas amel shtar shish b'edis hakatashin, that has the second witnesses. Hareza gove, he can collect bo bain mimalva rishon bain miacher, whether from the first buyer, or you can collect either from the first lender or from the second lender. Because this are not at the same time. Because each group is coming on its own and it's testifying. When you're looking at Sunday, It's Sunday, so we look at Sunday. Tuesday's its own day. If you're coming at the same time and you're the same fellow and you want to come from two guys at the same time, you can't make it work at the same time because at the same time there's a conflict. But if it's at separate times, we look at each case separately in and of itself. Even if Reuven, so if it comes out, if Reuven would collect from Shimon on Monday with one pair of witnesses, and then he'd come to Levi on the next day, he could collect as well, because each one is looked at as a separate thing. Now obviously if Reuven collect from Shimon on Sunday and want to collect again from Shimon on the next day, he couldn't do that the second day, because, you know, he can't get from the same gate twice when you know one of the two witnesses is no good. That he would not be able to get. All right, now we're out of that territory, and we conclude with the...
Sorry. On the Shuas Hesed...
Hesed.
We learned before that if you admit part of the debt that you have to make...
No one's admitting part of the debt.
So why would they have to make any oath?
No, it's a rabbinic no oath for a kofar bakol. A kofar... Biblically, there's no oath, but rabbinically, it's a kofar bakol. Rabbinically, if you deny, and the guy, you have to swear. Okay. Hey, mi shehevi edim venechkara edusim vuzama. Guy brings one pair of witnesses to collect money, he brings the witnesses, and right afterwards, another two pair comes and they make his witnesses zomim. Okay. Vehevi edim, so he brings another set of witnesses to back his claim. But Osa Tainas with the same claim, same case and everything, Fuzamu, and let's say, and they get zomified as well by another group, whatever, it doesn't have to be the same two people, so it could be another, a third pair, a fourth pair that zomifies that second pair he brought. Afilomekas, even if he brings 100 of them, in other words, Reuven's trying to get $100 from Shimon. So every day of the week for the last 100 days, he's brought two witnesses that he lent him this money, and the same day, the same this, and the other guy is bringing Zomamim that are knocking out each one after the other. Okay. Now, V'acharkach, now on day 101, Hevi Eidim Acherim, he brings another, I don't know how he can find so many witnesses, he brings another set of witnesses, but Osa Taina, it's the same case, same testimony, everything. And these we find as being true, and we didn't Zomify them. So now, what might you be thinking about this right now?
Chain reaction or something?
Well, say, you know, this guy, these gotta be liars. You know why? Because the guy brought 100 witnesses that were liars. Obviously, this guy never lent him the money to begin with. He's just trying to find a way to get the money. Why we haven't zomified them? Because nobody happened to see that they were out of town. I mean, the guy's got a little track record of bringing false witnesses over here. And we would assume it would be a stigma that goes to him for the rest of his life. But no, Donim Alpiyam, we will accept the last pair of witnesses if they're not zomified. Why? Sha'afalpi, now let's think about this for a minute. If I look at the guy who wants to claim the money, what would I say about that guy? If I'm just looking at the guy who wants $100, what would I say about that guy? He's a crook. He brought 100 witnesses that were zomified. He has a chazaka to bring witnesses that are zomified. Wouldn't you say that? But now you gotta look at something else. We'll look at witness pair 101. What do we know about them till today? They never testified in a court once in their life. Maybe they even did on many other times and they were never zomified. As much as the litigant has a bad chazaka, a chazaka is bringing liars, these two witnesses who we base the judgment on, we have nothing on them and there's nothing we could say about them. Even though the litigant has a chazaka to bring liars, we have no chazaka to say that this brand new 101st pair are liars. Alright? So therefore, we have to accept their testimony and it stands. Because they have a chazaka and that's the determining factor. Witnesses are what determines the case, not litigants. Okay, avol shtar shikara alav ar, or let's say you have a document that the lender has, here's the document, and the borrower says, you know, I got claims, it's forged and this and that. Vehu and that shiyavu shnayim v'yomru. Let's say two guys come along, they say like this. Mimenu shol lezayif lo shtarze. I want you to know that this guy, Reuven, he came to us to ask us to sign a forged document that you lent us $100. He did, right? But we didn't do that. We weren't willing to do that, you know? So they already said something bad about Reuven. He was trying to forge a document that the other guy owed him money. Afal pi sheniskayim hashtar mechosmov. Even though that this now is their actual signatures. These guys say, this one though is the right one. In other words, on Sunday he came to us to forge a document that you lent us $100. And now this document that we're on, granted it was, actually did happen. And it's fine. So, ein gomva le'olam, you can't collect on it ever, because we have to be concerned that maybe he figured out how to forge the signatures. Okay. In other words, let's say other people verify their signatures. In other words, this guy has a document with signatures of A and B. We ask A and B, do you sign this? I says, well, I'll tell you. He had tried last week to get us to forge a document. We refused to do it. Other people say, this is the signatures of A and B. So we've verified their signatures. Problem is that they said this guy had asked us to lie and cheat and swindle before. We refused to do that. But the other people said, but that's their signature. And it looks their signature. We don't accept it. We can only assume one thing. What? That the guy forged their signature. The yearly, it appears to me, Shimbo Ede Hashtar. But what if indeed the ones who signed that star, and they say it's our signature, and they remember the loan, even though they may not remember exactly they sold, but they said this is our signature. Go and we collect it because they recognize their signature and will accept it. Okay, stop here. Tomorrow we start the laws of